Because it says so much to us about our shepherd, who is Jesus. And we know that he is our shepherd because he himself was the first one to tell that story about himself. So we're going to read Luke's version of the original story of the lost sheep. And it's from chapter 15 of Luke's gospel. Verses 1-7. Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Three things that Jesus is telling us about himself, our shepherd, from this story. The first one is, he is the sinner's shepherd. And the second one is, he is the searching shepherd. And the third one is, he is the celebrating shepherd. Our shepherd, Jesus, is the sinner's shepherd. The reason why Jesus told the story that Deborah also told us today was to explain to the religious leaders, they were called the Pharisees and the scribes, why so many of the people who wanted to be with Jesus were actually very bad people. The religious leaders were angry. They said, "You should not have anything to do with very bad people, because if you spend time with very bad people, they will make you bad." And sometimes we might say to teenagers, "Be careful who you hang out with." And Jewish tax collectors, they were amongst the worst of the bad kind of people. Why was that? Because the land where Jesus lived, called Israel, at that time was part of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire then was so big, it went all the way, I think, from England to India or somewhere like that. They had to have a very large army to manage it. And someone had to pay for this very large army. So the Romans used to charge the taxes to the people in all those places, like Israel, where the Roman Empire was, and they used local people to collect the tax, their own people. And the Roman soldiers who were paid for by the tax were often very, very cruel. For example, it was not unusual that you could find your wife or your daughter had been very badly treated by a Roman soldier. So nobody wanted the Romans in their land, let alone pay taxes to keep them in their land. And then when their own next-door neighbor became a tax collector for the Romans to make a profit for themselves, oh, these were very bad people. Nobody wanted to be the friend of a nasty tax collector like that. Only other tax collectors would ever be your friend like that. But Luke says that whenever Jesus was around, wherever he went, lots of these very bad kind of people were coming close to him. In fact, Luke says they really wanted to hear what Jesus was saying. They wanted to listen to his voice. And not only did Jesus, he was different to everybody else. He didn't avoid the tax collectors like everybody else. He welcomed the tax collectors. He even made friends with them. The Pharisees were upset because he actually had dinner with them. And in their culture, to sit down and have a meal with somebody was the way to say, I don't only know this person, I actually fully accept this person. That's what it meant. Take Zacchaeus, for example. You have probably heard the story of Zacchaeus. Luke 19 tells us Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Think how hated he was by the people around him. And he was rich because of it. And when Jesus was passing through the town of Jericho where Zacchaeus lived, Jesus looked up into the tree. Zacchaeus had climbed the tree. Remember the story? Because he was a very small man. And Jesus saw him there and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down and come down because I must stay at your house today. What? A chief tax collector? No wonder so many tax collectors and very bad people, people who did lots of very bad things, that nobody else wanted to be anywhere near. They wanted to be with Jesus. Because Jesus was the only person who would meet with them, really. Who would really accept them. Who would really accept them in their shame, in their isolation, in their hurts, in their brokenness. And they knew this idea of shepherd. Because in the Old Testament, God had often said, I am the shepherd of my people Israel, and they are my sheep. Like we were all the sheep going baa today. The shepherd who really does lead his people to the best pasture. Who really does tell them what's right and wrong. Who really cares about them. Who really loves them because they are his sheep. And they are valuable to him. So Jesus, who John tells us, said, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep know my voice. In Luke here is saying, these bad people are also my sheep. And what's more, these really bad tax collectors and others like them, they seem to be the ones who know that I'm the shepherd more than anybody else. They're the ones who seem to recognize my voice. They don't need much reminder of the mess that their lives are in and how their sinful selfishness has got them into it. Everyone, especially the religious leaders, every day is showing them that as they avoid them. These tax collectors, they may be rich with money, but in their hearts, they're desperate. They're lonely. They have no one else to turn to except Jesus. As Jesus speaks the words they love to hear, like, blessed are you when you know you need God, for then you have the kingdom of God. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened by that wretched shame and sin in your heart, and I will give you rest. Follow me. I value you. You may be hated by everybody else, but I love you and I want you as one of my closest friends who will take my message to the world. That's exactly what Jesus said to another tax collector whose name was Levi, who wrote Matthew's gospel. He became known as Matthew. It's in Luke chapter 5. In the Old Testament, you see, it says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if any of us ever thinks that we're better than anyone else, we are just like a scribe or a Pharisee who is blind by our pride and our self-righteousness. Life in this sinful world is hard for all of us. We all face struggles. Where is your shame? Where is your sadness? Where is your pain that tells you something is wrong? There's some sin somewhere. He who alone knows your true destiny can show you, because he made you, because you are his, because he is your shepherd, always speaking to you his words of healing and identity and freedom and peace and love and life. What is the good shepherd saying to you right now as you draw near to him? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Come to me, and I will give if all who are thirsty, and I will give you the waters of life. Trust in me, not in any other God. Trust in me. What good news we celebrate. Jesus is the sinner's shepherd. That means he's my shepherd, and he's your shepherd. What's more, secondly, the story tells us that Jesus is the searching shepherd. The sinner shepherd is the searching shepherd. Actually, instead of the bad people making Jesus bad because he hung around with them, it's completely the other way around. When the bad people come to Jesus, Jesus makes them good people. Zacchaeus' life was completely turned around, the tax collector Zacchaeus. And when that happened, Jesus explained what was going on. Verse 10 of Luke 19. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Charles told us last week that he lost his handy in church here on Good Friday. He didn't know where it was at first, and he told us that all he was interested in was to find his handy, and his life became full of searching for his handy. And that is normal when you've lost something that matters so much to you, isn't it? Like the shepherd Kirti, when he lost his sheep. If you had 100 sheep, Jesus says to the Pharisees, and one of those sheep went astray, wouldn't you go after it? After all, you know how dangerous it is away from the flock. You know how over there in the cafe, the wild animals could come and pounce. And the dull sheep that's looking for coffee could be eaten by the wild cat, unaware of what's going to happen by the animal. These sinners were being magnetized to Jesus because Jesus had come for them. Jesus was searching for them as he's searching for us. If you're not a Christian yet, allow the good shepherd to meet your need, to show you who you really are. You are his precious sheep, who he wants back, safe and sound in his perfect care. And if you are already a Christian, know that when he comes searching after us, whenever we wander away from being close to him, when we do things that are selfish and wrong, when we think thoughts that are fearful or resentful about some other person and we wander off, the shepherd searches. Psalm 78:22 talks about the problems of Israel and the reason that they existed, those problems. Quote, they did not believe in God. They did not trust in his saving power. If we don't believe in God, we'll have to believe something else. What we do in our lives is always the result of what we think. And what we think is always the result of who we trust. So any ways in which we do not fully trust in God will also leave us vulnerable to make mistakes and to make a mess of our lives. Maybe even to go as far as becoming a tax collector if we don't know God. And the good news is our shepherd searches for us until he finds us. Like Kirti the shepherd, he does not stop searching until he finds us. So in what ways are you being found by the shepherd right now as he's teaching you more about himself and shows you areas that you are not trusting in him with? Again, the Jews would have been very familiar. They would have known this idea. For example, Ezekiel, the prophet in the Old Testament, said, God says, I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Maybe we don't even know ourselves what it is that's breaking our heart deep down or distressing our soul. Some unbelief, some idolatry deep hidden down which we need to repent of. The good news is Jesus is the searching shepherd who's coming after us, looking for us until he finds us. And so he is also the celebrating shepherd. He is the sinner's shepherd, hallelujah. He is the searching shepherd. He is the celebrating shepherd. What happened when Jesus, our shepherd, found the tax collector whose name was Levi? He met him. He just said to Levi, who was at his tax collector's booth, he was actually doing his job of collecting the taxes, and Jesus said, follow me. Verse 28 of Luke 5, immediately it says, Levi left everything. In particular, as well, he left this tax collection business. He followed Jesus. Levi trusted Jesus. He recognized Jesus was master, and Jesus loved him. And the next verse says, and Levi made Jesus a great big party at his house, and there was a large number of tax collectors and others reclining there having a good time. And what happened when our shepherd Jesus met the tax collector whose name was Zacchaeus? Luke 19, verse 6. Zacchaeus hurried and he came down from the tree and he received Jesus joyfully. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I give them four times back. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Levi, Zacchaeus, both tax collectors, both being saved, both being found, as they repent, that's the word, the things that they did in their lives changed. Because the things that they thought in their heads changed. Because their belief changed. Because they knew they were loved after all. Someone loved them after all. And his name is Jesus. Lifestyle always follows thought. Thoughts always follow belief. Who do you really trust in? And what relief there is in our hearts when we, believing in Jesus, dying in our place, ask him for forgiveness for our sin and know that we are forgiven. I mean, when we know and the peace and joy come. And when we find that actually life is about following him. And we start, like Levi, okay, let's go, leave it behind. Off we go now. And last week, Charles, he told us, he found his phone because somebody helped him. And he wanted to testify, he was so happy. He said, Pastor, I want to tell everybody about this good thing that happened. A brother helped me find my phone. He was so happy. And actually, the main thing in this story that Jesus is talking about, it's very interesting this, is God is so, so happy to have us back. He is so, so happy because he loves you so much. Even more wonderful than you being found for your sake is that he is so happy about it. his joy. Verse 5, when the shepherd had found the lost sheep, he laid it on his shoulders. Anneke was a bit too big to be carried on Kitty's shoulders, but we got the idea, like in the picture there. Rejoicing. The shepherd is rejoicing. That painting's a little bit tame, isn't it? He needs to be a bit more, ha-ha. And verse 6, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. And verse 7, Jesus says, this is the kind of overflowing joy that's going on in heaven when you came home, when you were saved, when you repented. God's going, yippee! Wonderful. They're home. So let's also take delight in being found by our shepherd and giving joy to him and share in his joy when he finds the others who were lost and then found. Jesus is the sinner shepherd. Jesus is the searching shepherd. Jesus is the celebrating shepherd. We're going to sing to Jesus now, thanking him and telling him that we love him too. Recognizing that he is our shepherd and he died for us because we're sinners to forgive us, and he rose again and is alive. He's here. He's our wonderful shepherd, our stupendous shepherd.
Amen. Just as Jesus loves us, let us sing this song and let us proclaim our love for him. And can we all rise together and sing together this children's song with the children? Let's all rise together. And so I'm just going to go through the actions with you. So